Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Hello, I'm Ben Kenny. It is on the clock. It is Thursday, March 28th, which means it is opening day around Major League Baseball. So, congratulations, we made it. It's not opening day for the Phillies, if you don't know already. They play on Friday. The game got rained out. So, I don't know. Kind of a weird deal. Kind of a weird feeling. Like, excited to watch other baseball. Would have loved if the Phillies could have actually played today. But then they have this weird Friday built in. So then if Thursday gets rained out, you just move it to Friday. And, you know, God forbid they have to play 3 days in a row like they do the rest of the season. I don't know. Neither here nor there. But the offseason is officially over. I'm excited for baseball today. I'm excited for the Phillies. I mean, kind of a, like, jump off the ground and get running kind of series against Atlanta with Wheeler and Strider, again, now going on Friday. So we'll get to all of that. The Phillies did release their roster today. I have a lot of thoughts on that. Some kind of news-ish items. So that's coming up. I do have some winners and losers of the offseason in general season predictions. I'm not going to do the whole gamut of over under this and this guy wins that, but some season predictions where my gut feel is at the moment. We'll get to that later. But I wanted to start with some Philly-centric things. The first one is, obviously, with the game being postponed, it's important for a couple reasons. The Braves, well, it doesn't affect the Braves, and honestly, we shouldn't really care. But the Phillies had entered the season with the off days built in, and after the Braves, excuse me, I don't have their schedule in front of me, they host the Reds with out a day off between Sunday and Monday. But the way that it had lined up, I believe, is that Wheeler goes the first game, Nola goes the second, Ranger the third, Sanchez the fourth, I believe, and then they can go back to Wheeler, and they can skip Spencer Turnbull, which is, I think we talked last week about this, with Walker where he is, and he was officially put on the IL today. Obviously, Turnbull enters as the fifth starter, and I think a lot of, like, I'm kind of excited. I think expectations are kind of low. Matt Strom, if you remember, was a starter at time last season, and he played a valuable role, just giving them bulk innings and saving the pen and saving the rotation. So Turnbull is likely going to be that. But the way that this works now, because they play Friday, Turnbull's start can't be skipped. And there's something with they want him to throw one more sim game or his pitch count isn't there yet. So I think the only real impact of this is his first start, which will come against Cincinnati, will now probably not just not be as long. He'll probably go three or four innings. So, I mean, there is some real impact of the rainout. That's it, really. The rest is we just wait another day for the season to begin. Friday, you get Wheeler versus Strider, probably one and two of pitchers in the National League. There's this weird thing, And maybe it's just the beginning of the Harper era that I think of and this reminds me of. But they've started at home against the Braves a couple times. I don't have the numbers to back this up. One of them was 2019, I want to say. It was when they got McCutchen as a free agent. And Harper was already there, I think. I forget the year and I forget the details. But all I remember is the Braves coming into Philly. And the Phillies demolished. I think they swept him out. I think it was the first game they won like 9-4. Hoskins hit a slam. McCutchen homered in his first at bat. And the vibes were obviously incredible. I think they went on to sweep the Braves, which was followed by, utter demolition. This might have been 21. Or it might have happened again in 21. That's where I am. It happened once, and then I believe it happened again, this time after they get Schwarber, which that could be 22. So you see where I am. I'm not really dialed into when this happened. But there's something with the start of the season against the Braves that's happened in the last 5 to 6 years under, like with Harper, where they kind of just come out blazing hot. And in the past, that hasn't really contributed to a great season because they did not make the playoffs in those years. But this is their one tough series, as I've mentioned, as I go back to the schedule. This is their one really tough series in the entire month, I think. In March and April, I should say. This series ends March. And then afterwards, they get the Reds, the Nationals, the Cardinals, the Pirates, the Rockies, the White Sox, the Reds. And then the Padres will be tough. And then the Angels, it's a West Coast. So you know that it usually doesn't go well. But this is their one tough series until April 26th. And, history has told us that they kind of play these series well. So I don't know what to expect. Obviously, you enter and you say, oh, yeah, winning 2 out of 3 would be great. I might even resign to saying, if they get a game, because last year they get swept in Texas, then they lose the first 2 in New York, and they're 0-5 before you even blink. If they could just win, 1, I'll take 2. Just start off on an okay foot and know that the next month is going to be filled with winning. I'm cool with that. One of the biggest things, honestly, the biggest I'm looking for, the offense will be what it is. Some guys will start slow, others won't. If Schwarber starts off red hot, then okay, we can bank on maybe a better season, but that isn't really defining the year. Like, Harper's going to be Harper, and I think Castellanos will be productive. The JT thing is a story. Like, if he gets off really hot, then maybe there were real improvements made this offseason. The biggest thing I'm looking for in this series is the Phillies pitching. And it's not Wheeler. It's not Wheeler on Friday. And that's the big matchup, which is, that's going to be an incredible, like, that's great theater. That's what opening day should be. Zach Wheeler, Spencer Strider, Phillies Braves, one of the biggest budding rivalries in the sport, I think. And it goes on. The matchups Saturday and Sunday are fun. Saturday is Max Fried against Aaron Nola. The Phillies are obviously hit or miss off Fried, but again, this analysis of like, they sometimes hit this pitcher, that's kind of postseason analysis. We don't really enter the regular season and really break down, okay, they need to get 2 runs off this guy in order to chase him so they get to the back end of the bullpen. It's like it's the end of March, so we want to be eased into the season. But what I'm looking for this weekend is Aaron Nola and Ranger Suarez. And Ranger goes Sunday. And if they're able to start really strong, because Ranger's somewhat of an X factor to the year. There's the whole, he hasn't been healthy, but we've seen him in the playoffs be one of the best pitchers like of all time, next to Wheeler and others. He's been incredible in the playoff moments, but not for a full season. So he's Sunday against Chris Sale, which is an intriguing ad because he's kind of the Harper Schwarber stopper, yet he hasn't been healthy in half a decade. If Aaron Nola and Ranger Suarez come out and totally shove this weekend, that's when you kind of look ahead at the month and the next couple months and be like, okay, this team could start really hot. Because Wheeler's a given and the offense is a given, but what does the top of the rotation do? Because afterwards, like your fourth and fifth starter are always going to be somewhat tumultuous. Like you'll get good starts, you'll get bad starts. I'm cool with that. But do I get, like, last September, October Aaron Nola And do I get last playoff Ranger Suarez? Because if they shut down the Braves to start, and if they win 2 out of 3 on the backs of Nola and Ranger, I'll actually have real takeaways from the series and be and say, like, this could be a pretty red-hot start to the year. So that's what I'm watching coming up in this contest. Again, that now starts on Friday, so I'm not live reacting to a game. The big news, though, of the last couple days, and this is we're officially putting a bow on the offseason, which is funny because it's opening day. There's baseball being played today, and I'm having to put a bow on an offseason that hasn't ended yet. It finally ended on Tuesday night as Jordan Montgomery finally signs with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He finally signs, period, or comma, he signs with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Not to say finally with them. 2 years, $50 million, essentially. It's 1 year, $25 million, with an option that'll probably be hit. For Philly's purposes, after seeing Walker go to the IL, and he's clearly not ready, there's this big outcrying that they had to sign Montgomery. And they need Montgomery, they need the pitcher. And because of how, I mean, clearly bad his market was, this is after, you know, Snell goes for what? 2 years, $60 million, no long-term deal for him. Montgomery, the same thing. And it's now late March, and the guy still hasn't signed. His market is clearly a little bit messed up. So he goes for 1 year, $25 million, which is nothing. And had the Phillies had done it, we've talked about this endlessly, you know, the penalties include draft picks, they include the lack of bonus pool money and financial penalties and all the stuff that really fans don't care about on the surface. The question is it worth going that all in on this window? And do you think Montgomery's even that good? That's a big part of this. It's not as if you were signing a bona fide stud, if it was Aaron Nola, then you had a bad market because Scott Boras is being a jackass, then I think, you know, there would be more of a collective push to do it. Everybody did push, though. And everybody's kind of worried about the Phillies' fifth starter, which tells you where the team is, first and foremost, tells you how good they are set up. I look at this, and I can't really argue with the people that said the Phillies should have done this. Like, would I have made this signing? Yeah, sure. I would have taken Jordan Montgomery for $25 million. It would have been a really good 3/4. And, I mean, when you look at innings-wise and you look at durability, like, that's a Phillies probably have the top rotation in the sport. Do I think it is bad news, though? That's the outcry that, oh, he goes to the Diamondbacks, this is bad news for the Phillies. No, I don't think this is bad news at all. They didn't need him, as I've argued, for the entire offseason. And the Diamondbacks have had kind of a flashy offseason with him and Eduardo Rodriguez, who's hurt. And, there's a hitter in there that I forget. But somewhat flash, like, they've gotten better. They've made additions after going to the World Series, which, first and foremost, I'm happy to see as a fan of baseball. Teams like the Diamondbacks should try to get better, and they clearly are. So there are teams like the Red Sox and the Cubs that have been pathetic, and we'll talk about their off seasons later. The Diamondbacks, I think, is how teams should run. So that's good. But I don't know. I still look at Arizona, and this was met with blowback when I said it online. Surprise, surprise. They're the third or fourth best team in their division. Like, they're not that good. And I know they went to the World Series, but there are times when teams make these runs. And you know that the run is real, and you're not discrediting it. But when you look ahead to the season, this is looking forward. Like, top to bottom, they're just not that good of a team. The Dodgers are better. The Padres are better. They're due for insane positive regression after weird circumstances last season. The Giants are kind of right there as well. Like, they're neck and neck with the Giants. But this is to say, like, usually NL champion signs free agent starting pitcher for X dollars a year. Usually everybody says, oh, that's, they're more dangerous. Now they're even more of a favorite. But the Diamondbacks are not that. The Phillies and the Braves and the Dodgers are the favorites in the NL. Arizona isn't there yet. So when I see them make this move, it helps them. Not going to argue that. I don't think Jordan Montgomery, I'll put it this way, I don't think Jordan Montgomery is the difference between a Diamondbacks-Phillies postseason series. And if it is, then the Phillies have real problems and they've completely peed down their leg again. Like, it's a choke job that allows that to happen, not this pitcher, who was good in the playoffs last year. I will say, not ready for the season, going to need ramp-up time, getting a little older, kind of concerned about the durability, but we'll see. So I don't think this is bad news that they did not get him. I would have done the deal. I would have been fine with it. I'm not going to argue against it. But I don't think it's bad news. I don't think this vaults the Diamondbacks up there. They're a fringe playoff team. They'll win 80-whatever games. They'll probably win a wild card, and they'll be in the playoffs. And they have experience, so they'll be dangerous. But they're not one of the favorites. They're not a juggernaut of the NL. Absolutely not. So that's my reaction from seeing Montgomery. And I think I pulled this up, actually. As I said, the Diamondbacks just aren't that good. Now, again, here's the... Like, when you write that sentence, the Diamondbacks still aren't that good. Everyone says, yeah, you're saying they suck. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm saying they aren't that good. As in, oh my God, look, the team that beat the Phillies got Montgomery. Now they're the World Series favorite. Absolutely not. They are a fringe playoff team. I think going into the year, actually, I picked them to miss the playoffs, but I think the Phillies, Braves, and Dodgers are clearly better. I think the Padres are clearly better. And then there's a tier of Giants, Cubs, Brewers, Diamondbacks. And that tier kind of makes up what the wild cards will look like, I think. That's my NL outlook. And the Diamondbacks are in that like fringe wild card. So someone responded and said they're good. They have an MVP candidate and a solid lineup and a really good rotation with an ace. Which, yeah, Gallen's good, and they have, you know, their rotation is solid. Gallen, Kelly, Fat, Rodriguez, and Montgomery. It's deep. It's a deep rotation. I don't know how top-end good it is. But the Diamondbacks have the 14th highest win total in Las Vegas entering the season. And the American League, I will say, has a lot of the top ones. But actually, I'll just pull it up. MLB season win totals. The AL has deeper teams up top. In order, Dodgers, and I'll leave the numbers to the side, but it's Dodgers, Braves, Astros, Orioles, Yankees, Phillies. Those feel like the top World Series contenders, take away the Yankees. Then you go Rangers, Mariners, Blue Jays, Twins, Rays, Cardinals, which is preposterous. They're going to stink. You can't enter with a rotation that old. And the Diamondbacks. And then right below the Diamondbacks, like a game behind, are the Padres, Giants, and Cubs. So people act like this is some crazy statement that the Cubs and the Giants could be better than Arizona. Their win total is pretty much the same. So when I look at the season, I feel a regression. I feel a lot of the magic will be gone and won't happen again. So that's my reaction to the Montgomery thing. And it really just brings out a larger take. And it doesn't change the outlook, I don't think. They have a chance at the wild card. They're not a big threat in the NL. So, there you go. All right, it's on the clock. I'm Ben Kenny. We will step away. The Phillies roster did come out today, that being Thursday, not opening day. But react to the roster, some news, some injury news, and some of the storylines. I haven't spoken since the Jake Cave trade and the subsequent moves in the outfield. We'll touch on all of that coming up. I'm Ben Kenny. It's on the clock.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we are back. I'm Ben Kenny. It is on the clock here on this Phillies opening day eve. I can't wait for the games to actually start and for the season to begin. But with that happening, we did get a roster. And actually, before we do that, like and subscribe and all that stuff. And I'm on Twitter at Ben Z Kenny. I'm going to touch on my MLB picks, generally speaking, and winners and losers of the offseason coming up. So that's your tease. The Phillies, though, released their roster. And there are no real surprises. No real surprises. There is a minor one. But the starting pitchers, Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, Chris Sanchez, Spencer Turnbull, no Taijuan Walker, who we'll get to in a second. The relievers, Alvarado, Dominguez, Hoffman, Soto, Strom, Marte, Ortiz, and Brogdon. Back half of that we'll get to. Catchers, Romuto, Stubbs. Infield, Harper, Turner, Stotboom, Sosa. Outfield, Schwarber, Castellanos, Marsh, Merrifield, Rojas, Pache. We'll get to the end of that as well. I start with, so the players that were put on the injured list, Dylan Covey, knew that was coming, and Turnbull kind of took his spot. Orion Kerkering, we knew he was coming along slow because of the flu, but he's listed with a right forearm strain. And I don't know. I think part of that is we're just building him up. I don't know if it's a real injury. And I don't think there's information on this. I was just looking. I'm not really concerned about it because I think it's a build-up thing. I don't know if he has a forearm strain, though. And if so, that would have come out of nowhere. So that's why that was kind of surprising. Michael Rucker, and he's one of the depth relief pitchers they've added, and seems, you know, he seems to be okay. But he'll help the team in like June and July. And the last one is Taijuan Walker with shoulder soreness and possibly being cooked. That's what I'm adding to that injury. So Turnbull takes his spot. The Taijuan Walker thing is somewhat bad news, if we're being honest. For the money he's being paid, he got paid more than Zach Eflin last offseason. And Eflin kind of pitching like a stud. And Walker, again, has kind of fallen off, more than fallen off. If he could replicate last year, I genuinely think that would be a success. 170 innings, 4.4 ERA, every fifth day. I would like him to pitch in the postseason if he's good enough. But you get what I'm saying. Now, you don't really know when he's going to come back. I would aim for like May. You don't know if he's going to be close to effective. And that could be a dead spot. And I've defended him and his value and the team kind of needing a guy like him. But for all that to happen, he actually has to be out there, which right now looks very doubtful. So I'm going to consider that bad news. On the other hand, the fact that they got Turnbull, I think is great news. And I think, a very pleasant surprise of the spring is that he can kind of pitch, and they're going to need to rely on him. So that's the big Turnbull in for Taijuan Walker. The other big one is they traded Jake Cave to the Rockies for cash. And the big discussion all spring training, and we started it earlier because we are on these things like that. What are you going to do in the outfield? Because Pache has no options. You might need a lefty, which is Cave. And Rojas can't really hit. He's a generational defender and young and blossoming and hopefully getting better. Right now, he can't hit. So the Jake Cave gets traded, and that gives you your answer, which I honestly love this approach. I love the move. My whole point throughout all of this was you can't just keep Rojas, pencil him in as the nine hitter, be okay with getting terrible production, and then lose Pache. You need an insurance piece at least. Like, at the lowest, he's a good defensive replacement who can hit a little bit and maybe improve. Remember how bad he was 2-3 years ago. Now, maybe he can improve offensively. And then Rojas takes a spot. Like, that's the worst-case scenario. The best case is Rojas becomes really good. Pache can also kind of hit, and he becomes a great utility outfielder defensive replacement. But keeping both of them, like I had no need, no desire for Jake Cave to be on the roster. And him being the final out of the NLCS last year really hurts this general case. Like the general case of you just need that lefty off the bench. Because my childhood brain remembers Greg Dobbs being a lot more productive than Cave. And, well, Matt Stairs is an easy one. He had one notable at bat. But what, like, I don't know what Jake Cave did. And there's no ceiling there. And the team is already set offensively. And they have a lot of lefties. That's not, that one matchup doesn't concern me. And you get to the deadline, and you could go find a lefty masher to come off the bench and fill that role. Merrifield can play the outfield. Marsh is obviously there. Like, your outfield is crazy deep, as I just mentioned. With Marsh, you can play two spots. Pache, you can play two spots. Castellanos and Rojas. And Merrifield. You don't need Jake Cave. And you weren't going to get him at bats at all. So I think it's a really good trade. I like the approach. I still would have maybe put Rojas in the minors. Because I don't know if it's going to be best for him to just not take every at bat. But if they want to keep him with Kevin Long, the Phillies hitting coach, and bring him along in the same way, then I'm going to believe them, and I'm going to trust that that's a good approach. But keeping Pache, I think, was very key in this whole thing. So I was happy to see that trade. It happened, I think, minutes before Matt Strom was extended, which my reaction to that was, honestly, nobody talks about Matt Strom. He's somewhat of an unsung hero, is fair to say. He's not discussed when you talk about the bullpen and how the pitching staff enters the season. He was really solid last year. He closed out the Braves series. The guy's versatile. He's dependable. He fits. So they extend him. I thought it was cool. That's it. I just wrote, you know, Strom extended, comma, cool. It's a good guy to have. You need those mid to back end of the bullpen guys to just help with depth. And again, give solid innings throughout the summer. He's not dominant like Alvarado, but everybody knows that. He just needs to be fine. And he could also extend out and be a long reliever. Or, I mean, he started last year. They're not going to do that again, but you know what I'm saying. So other things roster-wise, and admittedly, I'd kind of hoped to do a show on baseball games today, or a game. And I don't have that many extended thoughts on the roster, just to be completely honest. A lot of it is not much of a surprise. I will say I was surprised by Connor Brogdon. I didn't think he was still... I knew he was in the running just because of the nature of that position and his history and all that. I don't think he has any options left, and that could be part of it. But I mean, given the results, I kind of thought he was cooked. Like, I thought he was done. Luis Ortiz makes a little bit of sense, but still, like, him and Brogdon and Ortiz, I don't think are their best options down there. I like Junior Marte. He has a lot of potential. But part of the Michael Rucker being on IL, there was all this depth during spring training from the right-handed relievers. And yet, some of them are a little banged up and aren't there. I don't know. This the Brogdon thing, honestly, is somewhat of a head-scratcher because I'm not entirely sure how good he is anymore. So, I mean, maybe we'll see. The results will speak for it. Names to watch. And also part of this is workload. Do they need to be brought along slower because of the flu thing? So, reading into the opening day roster is, like, it's going to look a lot different in a month and then in 2 months. So, I'm not drawing sweeping conclusions or in any way up in arms about all of this. But other names to watch moving into the season. And I mentioned Jake Cave and getting a lefty outfielder off the bench that can come up. And if you need the matchup, or obviously if you need innings, David Dahl is still with the team. They sent him to the minors. He had a good spring. Again, Turnbull-like. Was good with the Rockies. Was a top prospect a couple years ago when he came up. He's that left-handed outfielder. So maybe he performs really well. Really what I'm saying is he could be great in the minors and then they call him up in June and July and then he fills that role. But I'm monitoring that name. He'll make an impact. You always need so many more guys than you think to get through a season. Remember, like, they've called up a ton of scrubs, a lot of Drew Ellis's to the team. And, you know, they've been up there for a week or two. Weston Wilson's one of them. So you'll need guys like that. David Dahl will be on the team this year. I guarantee it. Mick Abel is an easy one. He's going to really help in the rotation. Kind of a chance he takes over for Taiwan Walker, maybe, down the road. That's worth watching. Michael Mercado, one of the more exciting right-handed relievers that was sent to the minors. Maybe workload, again. I think he has a much better chance to become something for the team than Brogdon or Ortiz do. Nick Nelson, I put on this list, unfortunately. I think he sucks, but he'll have to start a couple games in April and May. And then infielders, a lot of the minor league infielders just aren't that good. But Rodolfo Castro, they got from the Pirates. And I don't like him because of what he signifies. They traded at the deadline for Michael Lorenzen and Rodolfo Castro with a team that could have won a World Series. Didn't do nearly enough. And what do you know? They were one position player utility guy away from beating the Diamondbacks and possibly winning. So I don't like him for that reason. Not his fault, except that he didn't produce at all. More so, what are the Phillies doing, that being their only move at the deadline? However, that said, he is kind of a name to watch because he's versatile, and who knows, maybe they saw something in him and he becomes something. But that's really all the roster note I have to go through. So let's do this. Let's step away. I want to get to the winners and losers of the offseason before we officially, and I guess they quote-unquote officially did in Korea already start the season. But before we start the season stateside, winners and losers of the offseason, and then picks for the year, and maybe a couple Ohtani-related thoughts. That's all coming up. I'm Ben Kenny. It is On the Clock.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back in. Phillies 24-7 and 94 WIP. Ben Kenny, it's on the clock. One more free agent move to note. We already talked about Montgomery. J.D. Martinez signed with the Mets, and that is the final guy we were watching and I think was the final actual guy out there. Kind of sneaky, impactful move. I'm not buying into the Mets. I don't think they are a threat in the NL East, but you just need anything if you're a team like that. And that's a sneaky, impactful move. Like, you put him in the middle of the lineup. Nimmo is already kind of an a-hole that, like, we know how Nimmo is, but he's a good baseball player. You have to give him credit. McNeil is McNeil. Then they have Alonso and Lindor and J.D. Martinez. And they have a bunch of young guys that could come up. So maybe you see the bones of a lineup that could be something in a year or two. Martinez to the Mets helps that. So that was the final thing to note from free agency. Winners and losers from the offseason. Winner, Dodgers. Easy. Not much has to be said. You sign, well, actually, if you count Ohtani / his interpreter, allegedly whoever you think it is, being degenerate gamblers and being tied up in a federal sting for a illegal gambling ring, part of the offseason, then maybe you subtract from the winnerness. Or if you count the Korea series, which also included Yamamoto getting rocked in his first start. But I'm not doing that. As if the world went back to the day before that series started. The Dodgers, Ohtani, record contract, and this deferral nonsense just because of who he is, which I will editorialize here. and say that maybe he's a degenerate gambler that wanted the money deferred so he doesn't gamble it. I don't think that's true, but maybe. Again, throwing out possibilities. But anyway, the deferral nonsense happens, and you get Ohtani, generational, most talented player ever, blah, blah, all that. And because of getting Ohtani, you get Yamamoto, up and coming, one of the more sought-after pitchers ever, 25 years old, seems to be great. Then you sign or you trade for Tyler Glasnow and sign him, I believe, as well. Now, if he's healthy, that's a slam dunk. But still, you're rebuilding your pitching rotation. So you already have Betts and Freeman, and now you have Ohtani in the lineup, and then you added three top-end starters. And that's the best offseason anybody's ever had, honestly, next to when the Yankees got Babe Ruth. Now, the Babe Ruth thing actually led to a dynasty. The Dodgers probably won't become that, but in terms of magnitude and talent and the big moves, 100%, they deserve to be talked about in the same breath. Big loser from the offseason, Scott Boras, super agent extraordinaire, generational jackass, and, well, the big loser, honestly, is him trying to get more money for Bryce Harper with 8 years left on the deal because of how much he realizes he botched that first contract. Because John Middleton said, yeah, you're probably underpaid because you've been top X player in baseball, brought postseason success, and we're paying you 20-whatever million a year. Preposterous. Boras recognized that and said, I need to make him more money so I look better. That's the first part. The second, 2 years, $60 million for Snell. Totally miscalculated what his market would be and suffered as a result. And Snell, I think, has it might be a one-year with an option, or it's in essence a two-year deal. I'm sorry, I don't remember the specifics. But then Montgomery gets a one-year $25 million deal, which might become two-year 50. But even so, they were looking for Nola 6 to 7 years, $180 to $200 million contracts. They didn't get it. Now, Montgomery not getting it, that's okay because he doesn't have really the track record of being that good. But Snell not getting it, coming off of winning the AL or the NL MVP and still being, in theory, at the top of the game, I don't think it's surprising because of how I've outlined how all that works and how I wouldn't sign him if I'm the Phillies, but him not getting the deal from anybody, even a stupid team and a desperate team, is crazy. So Boras is a big loser because those deals didn't happen. A winner. I'm going to say this because everybody else is going to say it, but just know that I disagree with the statement I'm about to make. The Diamondbacks were a big winner of the offseason. I don't really think that's the case. I think they got a bit better. I think baseball was a big winner because they tried to get better and are clearly spending money and into it. And it's good for the fans of the game. It's good for mid-market, lower-market teams. It's good for the big-market teams as well, honestly, because you know that there's real competition, which is all you can ask for in a sporting league. But everybody is going to point to him and Rodriguez as, okay, these are the pieces they need to go win a World Series. Which, as I said, I don't think that's the case. And if you look at their moves, well then, the rest of the NFL, or the NL, excuse me, got way better around them. The Dodgers, in their own division, got way better. The Padres, maybe by subtraction, got better, but will improve despite the weirdness of last season. And then the Giants got way better. And I'm going to talk about them in a second. But your entire division around you got a lot tougher while you made a couple solid pitching moves. I just don't think it's enough to counteract what's going to be a bit of a regression and teams around them just being better, generally speaking. So I don't think the Diamondbacks were a big winner, but I will list them as a winner for these purposes. Loser of the offseason. This one is joyous for me to say. The St. Louis Cardinals. Like, what the hell are they doing? They had one of the biggest down years in their franchise in a long time. They never, like, the one thing about the Cardinals is that they never bottom out, and they're never bad. And last year, that kind of happened with rotation injuries and whatever you want to attribute it to. They went 71-91. Now, take away COVID, because clearly they didn't play that many. They only played 58 games that season. 71 wins is their lowest win total since 1995, when they went 62-81. They've had some 80-something win seasons. They've had, you know, a lot in the low 90s. But they had a four-year postseason streak going in that snapped last year. 21 games behind first place. They were terrible. Like, terrible, terrible. And their offseason moves were, get a load of this, Sonny Gray, who's about 80, and he's already hurt, and he's not going to do, he's 34, and he's coming off a really good year, but he's 34 and he's already injured. Lance Lynn, who is, wait for it, 36 years old, coming off an average season, and he's 36. And Kyle Gibson, who is 36 years old. They built a rotation of grandparents that were maybe good 5 to 6 years ago, and definitely 10. So, and they brought back Miles Michaelis, who is just as old. They don't have this great young roster or this great young pitching. It's really Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, freaking Wilson Contreras, who I wouldn't take on my team, a couple of feisty young position players who we, like, they're fun, okay? They're not winning you divisions, young position players. And they signed a bunch of grandpas in the rotation. So they had a bad offseason. It's a plan that makes no sense. They're relying on the Cardinal Devil magic to work, which feels like a terrible strategy to actually do. That's something that we on the outside can say. The Cardinal Devil magic is doing this or is the reason for that. But the Cardinals shouldn't go by the thought that, oh, because we're the Cardinals, suddenly these guys won't be hurt and we'll be good. That's not going to happen. And they're already hurt and they're going to suck. So, bad offseason for the Cardinals. Big winner, San Francisco Giants. They needed a direction and they found it. They needed to spend money and they did. They, after a great second year under Kapler, 107-55, they went 81-81 in 22. They went 79-83 in 23. And now entering 24, they sign Blake Snell. Big ticket, only a couple years, but still improves. Jordan Hicks, insanity they're having him start. I think they'll move him to the bullpen, but still, I like him as a pitcher. I think it's a good deal. Matt Chapman, impactful, everyday third baseman. Jorge Soler, 45 homers. Put him in the middle of the lineup. He'll go deep a million times. Jung-Hoo Lee, this kid from Korea, who everybody loves, center fielder. They pretty much remade their offensive attack through free agency and added Blake Snell. And they already had Logan Webb. And they have this young kid, Kyle Harrison, coming up as starter. And they traded for Robbie Ray as well. I kind of forget that happening, but he's out most of the year anyway. But anyway, they needed an identity because they had a bunch of super average position players and no great starters, and they did it by signing Matt Chapman, who's older, but he'll contribute, Jung-Hoo Lee, the Korean kid who seems to be really good, and Jorge Soler. And that's how you should approach an offseason if you need to create juice and restart a winning window. That's how you should do it. So they gave up a lot. They spent a lot of money, but I think they spent it well, and I think they're a playoff team. They're a wild card out of the West. Big loser, opposite of the Giants, is the Red Sox. They spend money on nobody, and they were in the same position as the Giants, maybe a little bit better, because they have Rafael Devers, and they have Tristan Casas. They have these young guys that can hit. They don't really have that many young people that can pitch. But they went out and signed Lucas Giolito, who has been terrible since they outlawed sticky substances and also now needs Tommy John. He's out for the year. But I'm not going to dock them on that because he got hurt afterwards. But that's all they did. Montgomery's out there. They needed him badly. Didn't do it. There were offensive upgrades to be made or even guys to bring back from last year. They didn't do it. Pretty disgraceful offseason by the Red Sox. And they're the Red Sox. Like, they're supposed to be the team that's up there spending with the Yankees and at the top of baseball. And they have totally fallen off. They don't do that anymore. And I think they're going to be really bad. Like the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Orioles, the Yankees in that division, all way better. The Sox could be really bad this year, which is kind of startling to see. My entire life has been the Red Sox as the pinnacle, as the standard in the league. And now that is not the case, even close to it. So those are the big winners and losers, in my opinion. Some quick picks before we move on. And before I send you to opening day and to opening weekend, I'll be there Saturday and Sunday, which I am jacked for. I hope the weather does cooperate, I will say. Let's do some picks for the season. And at least, I have the Phillies winning the division. I think that the easy first month, paired with some regression from the Braves, automatic regression, is going to lead to the Phillies actually winning the division. And I just think this team is perfectly built for a long season and for a short playoff sprint. I think they'll be the team that wins the division and doesn't suffer the same choking fate that the Braves have each of the last two seasons. So there's that. NL Central, I'm picking the Brewers. They lost Corbin Burns. Brandon Woodruff's out for the year. But they signed Rhys Hoskins, which is a win. This Churio kid is already up, and he's going to be a stud. They actually, the return for Burns is already going to contribute to the team. They have a position player and a pitcher that's already going to be up, and they appear to be pretty good. I don't like discounting the Brewers. They just have something going where every year they're competitive. And frankly, the council thing, I hope there's some magic that works back the other way where the Brewers benefit from it somehow. I don't know how. NL West, I'll pick the Dodgers. Wild card, I think it's the Padres. I think they're going to be really good this year. I think they're going to bounce back after, again, a lot of weird, fluky, a lot of bad luck last season. The Braves and the Giants. I don't have the Diamondbacks making the postseason. I think the Giants, because of what they did in the offseason, will be thrust into that. And I'll get to who I have actually coming out of the NL in a bit. But I think it's a Phillies-Dodgers NL Championship Series. American League. I have the Orioles winning the East. Kind of easy. The Yankees are up there in terms of odds, but pitching injuries, very alarming and bad. Orioles, big move to get Burns. Young talent for days. And they're going to trade some of it as well, hopefully to get more pitching. They look like they're loaded. AL Central, I like the Guardians to bounce back and beat the Twins this season. AL West, I'll take the Mariners over the Astros. Wild card, Astros, Rays, Blue Jays. No Yankees. I think the Yankees, again, off a cliff. Judge and Soto are great. I don't like their roster at all. World Series, Phillies over the Orioles. I'm not going to do this whole, this is why the Phillies are going to win, but I'm picking them to win. And on, they better win the freaking World Series. Like, I don't want to go through this whole thing again just to have the same disaster happen that happened last year. MVPs, I wrote down Acuna just because he feels inevitable. And Julio Rodriguez. He was good on the back half of last year and is, you know, rising star, amazing. Cy Young, Aaron Nola, Corbin Burns. I don't think Nola's going to happen, but I have to stick with the take. Pick him to win Cy Young. Rookie of the Year, Jackson Churio, the Brewers guy. And Parker Meadows with the Tigers, under the radar, outfielder. So there you go. Those are some general picks for the season. I could explain to you my rationale for some of these. Who really cares? Like, I just listed them to do it. We're at the end of the show. We need baseball to start. I think everybody else is in the same boat as I am. All right. I'm Ben Kenny. I'm going to step away. And when we come back, a couple of thoughts on Ohtani. And then we will send you to opening weekend as the Phillies finally start their season. That's coming up next. It's On the Clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back. It is on the clock. Closing it out, the final technical offseason episode. Thanks for sticking around for everybody that did the entire offseason. It has been kind of a long one. One that, honestly, I wish this Ohtani gambling thing would have broke 2 months ago so I could have just done 45 minutes on it every week. But alas, it is dropping when the season starts. And he kind of disgracefully just read a glorified PR statement to the press and didn't take questions. I can't say I'm overly surprised, obviously. My thoughts on this are more extensive, but I'm talking to my barber yesterday, and he's like, oh, Ohtani had to have done it. He had to have done it, right? And honestly, the more I think of it, and this is all alleged, so I'm not accusing anybody, technically, I'm kind of starting to side towards Ohtani doing it. The facts really don't add up, except for the fact that the guy adamantly, for 20 minutes, called his former interpreter a liar and a thief. And if he does that and is also guilty, I think you could be looking at like federal crimes if he lies to the investigators. So that's a big part of it. I'm not going to lie. But the rest of it is, how does somebody else have power of attorney? How do they take $4.5 million? How does the story change from 1 week to another? Why does he not hear about it until they're in Korea about to play a game? Just a lot of this is really fishy. Either he's the most naive, totally innocent, just like weirdly out of touch person in human history, or he was gambling on games. And the first could be true. Don't get me wrong. I'm fascinated to see. The baseball investigation will go nowhere, but what does the federal one actually find? Fascinated to see. In the meantime, he's going to be great on the field, so he will continue to be a story. That's going to do it for us. Again, thanks for hanging around. Tomorrow, Phillies Braves. Listen to it on WIP. Listen to the post game. I'll be producing tomorrow night. And we'll talk next Thursday after hopefully a winning week of Phillies baseball. Talk to you then. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.